Hallelujah. So last week Sunday, we began a new teaching series which was titled Sit, Stand, Walk. Glory. The first teaching we did last week was what we called present truth. Say after me, present truth. Were you blessed last week? And on Wednesday, we began to talk about what we titled Ginosko, Revelation Knowledge. And we're explaining that everything we're about to teach you or everything you are learning in Christ, it must be revealed to you. You must have a revelation of it in your spirit. It's not just something mental. It's something that must happen in your spirit. Are you with me? And we explained the steps through which you can encounter Ginosko. Ginosko is just the Greek word for revelation knowledge. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 119 verse 130, it says the entrance of his word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. It did not just say the hearing. There is the entrance. There must be an entrance. Can you tell your neighbor there must be an entrance? It must enter into you. You know, when the Bible says, and Adam knew his wife and brought forth Cain, the word know there or knew there is ginosko. He had the revelation of his wife. There's a kind of knowing that the man and woman will have to produce a child. That's the same kind of knowing that you must have with God for the fruit of the life of God in us to be made manifest. Are you with me? That kind of intimate knowledge. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 7 verse 23, speaking to the false prophet, he said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I know you not. It's the same word there, ginosko. I knew you not. Meaning, me and you did not have the kind of intimacy that can produce fruits. If you remember in verse 20 of this chapter, it says, by their fruits you shall know them. Are you with me? So when he's saying, I knew you not, we did not have the kind of intimacy in the knowledge of me that will produce the fruits that I expected. Please, are you with me? There are many people, this thing is important too. There are many churchgoers, but there are few Christians. I'm saying it because I was there. I was there. I was in church for years until 2005. Some of you, you have been in church for years. You knew when God began to stir your heart. Where are you? What are you doing spiritually? Wake up! Can you tell somebody, wake up? And by the way, I have been seeing some signs in the spirit. The coming of the Lord will take people by surprise. Oh, you don't, that time you think you have to be serious with God, you don't have it. You don't have that time. You don't have it. There are things that God showed me 15 years ago, 20 years ago. When I began to see artificial intelligence, I knew that, this thing is closer than we think. Oh, I remember, I've shared it here before. I remember when I saw 2010, I just resumed in university, 100 level, the first day I slept in the university, I saw something. I went to buy fuel with my car in the dream. And when I got to the filling station, there was nobody. All I saw was, I saw something that looked like a robot, but the robot was intelligent on its own. It brought out something like a hand came out from the fuel pump or something. That hand came out, pressed my car, and the car. I've not seen any technology like that yet, though. There was a way the car opened and it filled the fuel inside, and then it now said, "Slot in your ATM card." I just slotted my card, pressed one or two things. I had paid. It gave me back the card, and I drove off. I saw another one. I saw a car that was being driven by nobody. I was just sitting at the back. In that revelation, I was going to preach in Lekki. And the car was talking to me. I was talking back to it. I woke up and, what kind of thing is this? You know those kind of dreams you have that? What kind of dream where the sun is pursuing the elephant? I said, this is rubbish. I beg, leave it. When I saw self-driving cars, I say, God showed me this thing 20 years ago. It will take you by surprise. You wake up on news and they will, God, not you in Jesus' name. People wake up on news and the same way they are reading news, so happened in Ukraine, in Russia. That's how they'll be reading it. There are strange disappearances. Even right now, there are strange appearances. So. When they are talking about fallen angels, people want to hear this. Something happened. There was a woman who met a man, got married, and within 3 years, they had 2 children. Listen to me. Those of you who, anybody you just see, you just go and have sex, you just see somebody, say, give them head, no problem. One day, she woke up, a white woman, not a Nigerian. She woke up one day, the man is a Nigerian. The man is supposedly a Nigerian. She woke up one day and did not see her husband. Searched everywhere for him. Did not see her husband. So she came to Nigeria. She has been married with him for 3 years, Abi. Are you with me? So she came to Nigeria and began to search. And she got to a certain part of Nigeria, the eastern part of Nigeria. And then she entered somewhere with his picture and said, I'm looking for this man. They said, is this the man you're looking for? She said, yes. This is actually his family house. He died 14 years ago. So who did she marry? Who are her children? The days of the fallen angels are not just in Genesis 6. They are here with us. You better... These things are deep. You better get serious with the Lord now. That time you have said, one day I will be serious. You don't have it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I carefully laid the foundation for today's service in those teachings that everything we're going to talk about, you must have ginosko. You must have revelation of it. And we said seat refers to our position in Christ. Walk refers to our life in this world because of what we have become in Christ. And stand refers to our conflict with darkness. And we said for the next 2-3 months, we are going to be delving into this. And we said that this is the summary of the Christian life. Seat, say after me, seat. Walk. And stand. And so, this summary of the Christian life was captured properly with the book of Ephesians. And even when you check the Old Testament, you are going to see bits and pieces of this presentation of revelation. Psalm 1 verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Do you realize that in this verse, there is a sitting, there is a walking, and there is a standing. Do you realize that? Please, are you with me? I hope if you are lost, raise your hand. Let me find you now. Praise God. So he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So this is a prophetic portrait of the blessed man. That if you look at this in the lens of Christ, not just the Old Testament right now, looking at this with the lens of Christ, the Christian who can fully experience his sitting, his walking, and his standing in Christ is the blessed man. Are you with me? The Christian who can fully experience his sitting, his walking, and his standing in Christ is the blessed man. Praise the Lord. So today, let's look at seated. Ephesians 2 verse 4 to 6. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 4 to 6. I can hear somebody say, this church likes reading Bible. Oh yes, we are a Bible church. Amen. Amen. So they read plenty Bible there. What's the church for? I know you will like it. If you come to church and we just say today, no preaching. We're just going to watch a movie. Woo! Let me tell you something. Your spirit man will be crying. Spirit man needs the word of God. You need the word of God. You need the presence of God. You need to walk with the Lord. And you know it. Ephesians 2 verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, can you read with me? For his great love wherewith he loved us. I'm not hearing your voice. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Oh my God, I cannot hear you. By grace he has saved. Verse 6, go on. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Glory! Hey. See, the revelation of our sitting or our position in Christ can never be understood until you understand where we are coming from. Until you understand where he picked us from to get us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at that verse again. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Are you seeing this? So the story of our sitting in Christ begins from we were dead in sins. Are you with me? You know, many pastors and even me have said, and I agree, Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people come alive. Christianity is not a change of character. Even though when you have become a Christian or when you have become saved, your character will change. But the superficial making a U-turn or deciding, you know what, I've been a bad guy, it's time for a change. You know those motivational stuff you see on Facebook? You've been a bad guy. How will you continue doing this? You can change. You can make a U-turn. You can become better. That's not Christianity. Oh, yes, that's not Christianity. Because even people who are dead, they can dress them off. Dress them up like they look very good. Like, dress them up as though they are alive, but they are dead. Whenever we preach morality, people, oh, don't do this, do that. Don't smoke, don't drink. Yes, should they do it? No. But you see, morality is not salvation. Morality is not salvation. Are you with me? Our story of us sitting with him in heavenly places begins from the fact that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, I want to show you something. You know, if you read the Bible and you are not conscious of what you are reading, there are many things you will not see. The weight of the Bible will not dawn on you. Look at Ephesians 2 from verse 4. Okay, no, verse 4 is too far. Let's start with verse 5. I want to show you something. Verse 4, but God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Verse 5, even when we are dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Wait. What do you mean? There is a big dichotomy here. There is a big gap here. How can someone be dead in trespasses and sins at one point and all of a sudden he is quickened? But not just quickened together with Christ. You don't understand. How can someone at this point, you are dead, you are buried in sins. You are spiritually dead, locked in the coffin of sins. Are you with me? And now, he's telling you, in almost split seconds, he's telling you that you have been made alive, and not just made alive, you have been made alive together with Christ. Let me give you an example. Imagine you work in a multinational company, in a company that has many branches all around the world, and maybe they have their headquarters in France, like Total. Are you with me? And they have the general managing director, the GMD of Total International. He's based in France. Then one day you were driving to work and you met a petty thief, a beggar who stole food from the market lady that came to sell food. And the people caught him and were beating him. And your gate man now said, Oga, wait, give me. He told you, Oga, wait, please, let me go and rescue that boy before they kill him. Then your gate man left, rescued this boy from being killed, from jungle justice. Then they bring the boy to you. And the boy says, Oga, please, I better find me something. I won't die. Then you give him 1K. He says, what is your name? He says, me? My name is Emeka. Okay, what's your son name? My name is Emeka Okorafo. Okay. Then your gate man now says,
Don't disturb my organ. Go, leave this place. Give this place.
You see the guy saying, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And the guy goes. Imagine 3 days later, you went to the office in your branch in Nigeria. Joined work call. They said, okay, right now, we are going to connect to our headquarters in France. And our overall managing director will be addressing all the top directors. And you are the top director for Nigeria. You report to the director for Africa. That one reports to the director for maybe Europe. Before you get, then you see your GMD say, right now, I've got an assistant that will be working with me. There's a young, smart young man that I love him. I love what he does. He's a very sharp young man. Please come welcome Emeka Okorafo. So he will be my right-hand man. You are now wondering how. You look at the picture of the person that came to beg you for 2K. It's the same person there, now dressed in suit, dressed with a tie, addressing everybody, say, I'm so glad to have this opportunity. You know, and you're like, no, I don't understand. Do you get the point now? And that point is even still lame. Because he's telling you, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins, had he quickened, made alive, where you were. From there, how did he do it? That he descended and picked you from that place, and now you are quickened together with who? With who? Christ? The problem is, believers don't really understand. I'll come back to this, but let me show you something. Psalm 49, verse 20. Psalm 49, verse 20. Let me show you a text of the Bible, and we'll come back to Ephesians 5. Psalm 49, verse 20. 1, 2, 3, go. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perish. So that means God may have elevated you because you believe in Jesus. And if you don't get it, your life will be like the beast that perish. Come back to Ephesians 5. That's why you must get it in this service. Amen? Ephesians 5. It says, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. That means we need to investigate things there. Go back to, okay, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Glory! We need to investigate two things here. Number one is, go back to that Ephesians 2 verse 5. What? 2 verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together. You need to understand two things. First of all is, dead in sins. What did it really mean by that? And how does it relate to this whole concept of sitting? Number two, quickened us together. Because it is because you have been quickened together. That is why you are now raised together. And then you are made to sit together. It's as though from that point where he quickened you together, everything that happened to Christ begins to happen to you. Are you with me? So let's start with dead in sins. Praise the Lord. Say after me, I'm blessed. Praise God. When Adam sinned, he died spiritually. Remember, God warned him, if you know the story, Genesis chapter 3, in the day you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. Whether you agree that he ate a fruit or he did not eat a fruit, he disobeyed God and he died spiritually, and he really did die. And what happened actually was that in the realm of the spirit, he was catapulted from his original position to a position of death. Listen to what I'm saying. He was catapulted from that position. He was moved from that position that he was, and he was brought to the place where the dead, the spiritually dead, belong. That was what the devil did. The devil tricked him. The devil tricked him. Oh my God. The devil tricked him to believe that if he rebels against God, he will get something higher than what God is giving him. Whereas, what the devil was doing was stealing from him what he had and bringing it to the point where Satan was already. Are you with me? One of the things that has made me overcome temptation is that if the devil is tempting me with something, he cannot take me higher than where God has placed me. He will only bring me down to where he is. Are you getting this? Adam was tricked. And then he was brought to the place where the devil dwelt. The place of the dead spiritually. And that was why when the Lord came in the cool of the day to look for Adam, and he said, Adam, where art thou? It was not just about geographical position. It was about a spiritual vacancy that God felt. There was a spiritual vacancy. Something is not right. Where are you? You have a position here. Why is your position vacant? Where are you? Adam had left that position that God gave him at that time. And he descended lower. It was so low that it was called the great fall. It was called the fall of man. Are you with me? See, you need to understand this concept of position. So, you need to understand it. And I gave you an idea of position in the first example. But, you know, if you work in an office, there is the position of the gate man. There is the position of the accountant. There is the position of the executive director or the managing director. Are you getting this? When a company announces their vacancies for people to apply, they are telling you, we have positions that are empty. Are you getting me? Just the same way Adam left his position. When a company says, we have vacancies, they are telling you, we have positions in this office, in this company that are empty, waiting for people to apply. And so, for instance, a person who becomes the gate man, there is nothing wrong with that, but there are things that are expected from that level. Are you with me? There is a salary range for the gate man. There is a job description for the gate man. Are you with me? There is a way of life for the gate man. There is a level of authority for the gate man. There are things that the gate man cannot even dream of. Are you with me? When they are discussing about the future of the company, he cannot enter there. It's not his business. Are you with me? There is a kind of life that is consistent with its position. So as it were, your position in that office will influence the kind of life you live in that office. In the same way, your position spiritually will affect the kind of life you live. Oh my God, are you following me? The accountant in the office is a higher position. There's a way of life for the accountant. There is a salary for the accountant. There are discussions and meetings that the accountant will be called into. There are things that will accrue to the accountant. Maybe an official car. Are you with me? But you see, the MD CEO has a different position entirely. And that position affords him a different kind of life. Are you with me? A different kind of salary. A different kind of authority. Praise the Lord. Stay with me. Don't be lost. Don't be lost. I hope you are with me. If you are with me, say yes, sir. So, for instance, when the MD CEO goes to South Africa, to this Pretoria, to discuss about major business deals with investors, the gate man cannot enter. He can't try it. How will he? No, tell me, how will he enter? Where will he smuggle himself? Under the car? Will he follow? How will he smuggle himself into the plane? What kind of assets? He doesn't have any way to assess those kind of meetings. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
See, I believe you understand what I'm saying. There are places, even in this world. The first day I entered into the government house of one of the oil producing states in this country, what happened? Supernaturally, this was like more than 10 years ago. Supernaturally, there was a parcel that was supposed to be delivered to my mother, but somehow it found its way to the father of the owner of Access Bank. And my mom's name was there. So they called, and my mom called me to go. Oh, my mom went initially, and the man was like, young woman. It now happened to be that the same day he lost his son was the same day my dad died. So he said, you know what? I'm going to adopt you as my daughter and your children as my grandchildren. So he said, go and bring your children. And they brought one of the sons. That day, and I knew that there are places and there are places. We got to the gate, almost like 100 soldiers. Where are you going to? As we called the name, the gate will open. I said, there is access. You don't know. Oh my God. You get almost like 8 gates. You get to this place. What are you looking for? They will call this person. Or as you just call the name, shingle, they open. Bah. That is on the earth, though. That is on the earth. Go to the White House and see if you can enter like that. So, when Adam sinned against God, he lost that position, and then his realities began to change. He lost that position he was in the spirit, and then automatically he became naked. That nakedness was the reality for those in the place of the dead. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Are you getting this? Now God has to send him out of the garden because people in the place of the dead do not have access to the garden. You will not have access to the garden of God. Are you with me? His realities began to match up to his position. The reality of the people in the place of the dead, there is a way they think. There is a way they are. There is a kind of control that makes them do the things of sin normally. It's their life. Are you with me? That position they are in the spirit has created a new reality. So Adam died. He was brought to the position of eternal death. Ephesians 2 verse 2 says, let me read from verse 1. Ephesians 2 verse 1. It says, and you hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2. Talking about all of us, because we were in Adam. It says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. Please read on. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. What does this mean? He's saying that all of us who came out of Adam, we are the children of Adam's disobedience, and there is a spirit of darkness. The same spirit of darkness in the air is the same spirit that walk in the children of disobedience. So when Jesus looks at the unsaved and says, you are of your father the devil, and the works of the devil will you do, it was not a lie, because Satan had given Adam an instruction, and by Adam obeying that instruction, he had come under the family of the devil. Are you with me? So the realities of those under Satan's rule was now his experience. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What does it mean? The children of wrath. It means we were children that were ordained to God's wrath forever. God's wrath was going to be made manifest on us. Are you seeing the gravity? Let me tell you, until you understand the apathy of our sins, of what it means to be dead in sins, you will not understand the weight of his grace when he says you are seated with him. Are you with me? Yes, some people don't get it. They say, I'm a sinner. God has forgiven me. Do you know what they're saying? Is it not you want to preach to me? I'm a sinner. God has forgiven me. Then I should be born again, Abby. That's what you want to tell me now. All the church people. So I'm taking my time to flesh out what it means. How dead we were. I'm trying to show you the depravity of man, the apathy of man. Praise the Lord. So what did Jesus do to bring us out of that? Back to my first example. Can you imagine? So how did Emeka Okorafor leave being a petty thief to be walking with the general manager of that multinational company in France? There is no way Emeka can go there on his own. Are you with me? There is no way. There is nothing he can do. Who does he want to talk to? Who is his family? Who do you know? Who are you? Somebody said, when you want to buy land in Abuja,
go and check Federal High Court and make sure that Dangote is not dragging the land with Otedola. Because if you get there and they are dragging the land, who you? Who you? Where you? How much do you have? Is it your 10 million? How much do you have? Can send you back to you and your generation back to your village. So you tell yourself, go to Federal High Court and find out, is this land a land in dispute before it will put you into this? Don't mind me. Let's focus. Praise the Lord.
The only way he can leave that level and go up is that the man there has to come. The man there has to come and pick him. And that's what Jesus did. Do you understand that? He left the heavens, the third heavens, came down and became a man. Are you with me? And joined himself together with us at this level and said, I will pick you from here and say, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Are you with me? That's what happened. Now look at Ephesians chapter 4 again. I want to show you something else. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 6. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we are dead in sins, has quickened us together. Look at that word together. Say after me, together. Now, look at verse 6. And hath raised us up together. And hath made us sit together. Are you seeing that word repeated 3 times? Together, together, together. It was because when Jesus came, he made sure he was joined to us together. Are you with me? Have you ever heard that scripture that says, for God had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin? 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. How did he become sin? He became sin by becoming one with us. We were dead in sin, so he became sin by taking on our nature. The death that we deserve to die, he took the death. The punishment of going to hell eternally, he took it. And after he fulfilled all the eternal judgment that we deserve, he says, guys, I've done it. So now, I have done your own, you will do my own. Are you with me? All the things that were accrued to you because of your sins, I have done it and I've fulfilled it. So now, henceforth, everything I am, you will be. He says, for God had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made. You see that now? So, oh my God. What example will I use now? Okay, let me try an example. I'll try something. So, let's assume. This is a lame example, but I'll try. Let's assume this is where Jesus was. Seated on the throne. And he saw you, where you are, down in sin. And said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I will go there. Are you with me? It's you, right? I'll go there and say, from now henceforth, we are joined together. Try to do like you are dragging me back. Try to drag me back. But I say, no, you are with me now. You are saying I'm in sin. Try to do like you are dragging me back. Jesus, I'm in sin. I'm in trespasses and sin. But I say, no, I'm already tied to you. You cannot run again. You can't go back again. I have tied myself to you. Try to do like you are dragging me back. You can't go back. I'm tied myself to you. Wherever I am now, you are there. Oh, Jesus, I'm not qualified now. Look at me. I am still struggling with pornography. Oh, look at me. I'm still struggling with masturbation. Let me just stay in that place. Jesus said, no, I have tied myself to you. So now you will follow me. Wherever I am going, you will follow me. Wherever I'm going, you will follow me. Do you understand this? So now, wherever I sit, you sit. Oh, yes. If I'm eating with kings, you will eat with kings. When I declare things to happen, you will follow me and declare. Do you understand this? Shout glory! God bless you, sir. And even from now in your life, it's a new season. The Lord promotes you in the name of Jesus. This is where our victory is. So, I mean, thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 2 verse 14, it says, for as much then are the children are partakers of flesh and blood. he also himself likewise took part of the same. So you see what is happening. He came down and joined himself to us. He took part of the same, that he through death might destroy him that had the power of death. What's he saying? Is he saying that he will make the devil non-existent? No. He's saying that he will join himself to us, fulfill all the requirements of divine justice, and bring us out of the influence of Satan. So the devil has no more control over us except you allow him. Are you with me? So he joined us with him, or he joined himself with us. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17 says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit, not two spirits, one. That's what happened. He joined himself with us. For many years, you see that 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, it was my best scripture. For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God, the rightness of God. That means my life cannot be confusing. The rightness of God is what I've been made. My life cannot go in a confusing way. Pastor, I don't know, maybe I will marry wrong. Maybe, what if everything just scatters? No! I have been made the righteousness of God in him. It must go right. Are you with me? No matter what I face, it must go right. Some of you, you are here. Maybe I'm speaking prophetically. You are just thinking about your life. And you feel like, where am I headed? What if at the end of the day, I don't really amount to much? I go back to the village and my life just ends in one corner? No. See, if you don't know these things and stay on it, the one that the devil has is what will prevail. Are you with me? But say after me, I have been made the righteousness of God in him. I want to ask you, what will happen if you truly live in the fullness of your togetherness with Christ? What will happen? Say after me, I will live in the fullness. Some of you are not, you are still forming. Say after me, I will live. In fact, do it like this. I live in the fullness of my togetherness with Christ. Glory. So now, we have been quickened together with him. We have been raised together with him. Hey! Maybe they told you in your office that everybody was promoted. You are not promoted. Don't worry. Tell them I've been raised together. Are you with me? I've been raised together. No problem. My own time is coming. I have been raised. Praise the Lord. Just imagine. Oh, you took my picture to a shrine and put my picture there. Your shrine is far, far, far beneath. I have been raised far, far, far above. You will not get me. No. My picture, don't worry. Put it there. If you survive 2 days, he fired us. Let me tell you something. I'm not just saying it because I'm anointed, though. Even though I am. You know, every day I have strange calls. This morning around 3 a.m. I was praying. A lady messaged me and said, Pastor David. I said, what happened? She said, I was in a dream. I was sleeping. And in a dream, something happened. And all I remember was that I saw your name on the wall. I saw somebody shouting your name on the wall. And when I read out the name, I came out. I was like, I don't know what that means. But we bless God that you came out. Because I am seated together with him. Are you with me? So what are the consequences of being seated in Christ? Number one, unhindered fellowship. You can put in bracket, access. Are you with me? So because we are seated with Christ, we have that unhindered access. You know, when meditating on this thing, many times in life, you can be overwhelmed by who you don't know. Oh, I wish I just knew somebody. Say, Abuja, now who know who? Nigeria, what connection do you have? But let me tell you, you can have God connection. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. John chapter 14, verse 20. The Bible says, at that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. If you remember the book of Genesis, that God usually came down. Genesis 3 verse 7, you see something like that there, that God came down in the cool of the day. It is plausible that God was coming to fellowship with man. Are you with me? And after Adam sinned, Adam lost that opportunity, that contact. You know, you can have the contact of somebody very big, maybe in government, maybe in power and all of that, and maybe things did not go the way you planned, and maybe you had a fracture in your relationship, and then you now know that, the way I used to contact this senator, I cannot call him again like that. Oh, times have changed. He's not happy with me. Are you with me? And that was something that happened to Adam. He lost that unhindered fellowship with God. But you see, what God gave us in Christ is bigger than that. Because in Adam's own situation, God will come and look for Adam and say, come, let us fellowship. Right now, God did not wait for us to wait for a time for him to be coming. Mm-mm. Right now, it's not that God is coming. He came and carried you and said, come and follow me and sit with me. So right now, wherever I am, you are. Wherever you are, I am. Are you with me? So God is no longer far. Oh my God. So now you can wake up in the morning, in the night, in the evening, and you can talk to God. There is no long distance relationship with God. Are you following me? Even your bestie, there will still be hindrances. You want to call on WhatsApp, no network. God now helps one person. He travels out to Canada. Oh my God. Or he japans to Japan. And you are here saying, Ja, help me. God, help me. You want to reach the person. Even when you are missing the person, there is still limited access. But right now, how did he do it? That wherever he is, you are. There is no distance anymore. You can wake up in the morning, and when you talk, because you are seated with him, you can whisper to his ear and he will hear you. He did this by giving you his spirit. By giving you his spirit. So, because we are seated with him, that day that Jesus spoke about in John 14 verse 20, that at that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you, that day has come. Are you with me? Sometimes we are in that day of unhindered access to God. We are in that day of unhindered fellowship with God. Glory! Ephesians 2 from verse 18 to 19. It says, for through him, they're talking about Jesus Christ, we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. We both have access. So Victor can have access. David can have access. Joshua can have access. Nanso can have access. Are you with me? Christy can have access. All of us, we have access. By one spirit unto the Father. Verse 19, I love alive verse 19 very well. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. I'm no longer a stranger to God. When I say Abba Father, it is not saying who is that. He's saying my son, talk to me. We are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. This was what Jesus was trying to teach the woman about. At the well in Samaria, John chapter 4, he says, the hour is coming that men will not go to Jerusalem to worship or to this mountain, but they will worship in the spirit. Are you with me? So if you have the spirit of God within you, wherever you are, you can connect directly. Are you with me? Because now you are seated. The Holy Ghost with you is the proof that you are seated. Remember, when Jesus sat down at the right hand of God, what came out? The Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost in our heart, in everybody's heart, the ones that believe in Jesus, is a proof that even though you are on earth, even though you are in Abuja, in the spirit you are seated with him in the heavenlies. Number two. Before I go to number two, there is one verse we must read. I'm reading it just because I like it. I love it. You will love it. Oh, you will love it. Romans 5 verse 1 to 2. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 2, by whom also we have access. By whom also we have access. We have access. Maybe you went to the government house and they say, who do you know? You say, you don't know anybody. But when you come to the gate of heaven, oh my God, and say, I am coming in the name of Jesus, they say, the gate is open. There is access. Are you with me? And guess what? If you can have access to the gates of heaven, what gate is there on the earth that you cannot have access to? He lifts up one king and brings in another. Are you with me? By whom also we have access. I even thought you would rejoice more in this verse. We have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I will teach you until you get it, until you become a New Testament people. Number two, what is the consequence of our sitting in him? I've come into the rest of faith. After me, the rest of faith. So, the seated position is the position of rest. So, for Christ to sit down, it is proof that God has finished the work of salvation in him. And there is nothing else to be done than what Christ has done. Nothing else to be done for man to be saved than what Christ has done. Are you following this? He did the work and sat down. And right now, if we believe in him, we are seated in his rest. So how is a man saved? Believing in Jesus Christ. Not by tying scarf. Oh, if you don't tie scarf, you are going to hell. Wrong. If you use lipstick, you are going to hell. Wrong. Are you with me? Because of what Christ has done, we are now in rest. For a man to be saved, he has to embrace the rest of God. Are you with me? So our faith in him brought us to be seated with him. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 verse 3. It says, For we which have believed do enter rest. Can you see that? Everybody read Hebrews 4 verse 3. Hebrews 4 verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Verse 10 says, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, even as God did from his. So what does that mean? After God created the earth for 6 days, on the seventh day he rested. And remember, man was created on the seventh day. That was a prophetic picture of the fact that just as God created the whole world, man was not there when the creation was done. Man only came to enjoy what was created for him. In the same way, Christ has fulfilled all the work of salvation. We are not to come and die for ourselves. All we are to do is to embrace what he has done and sit with him. Yes, are you with me? Yes, after me, I have come into my rest. In Christ, I have come into rest. I'm not struggling to be saved. If I believe in Jesus, because I believe in Jesus, I have come into the rest of God. Glory. Still on this, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 12, it says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Are you seeing this? So that he sat down on the right hand of God, it means that the subject of sin has been dealt with forever. Are you with me? Because Jesus sat down, it was a sign that sin will no longer be a problem to man. I have dealt with it. Accept me, glory to God. Also, this rest is proof that he has finished his enemies. That there will no longer be an issue from the kingdom of darkness that will get him up to be, are you with me? To be bothered. He is seated. When they tell you, hey, Jesus, they have attacked your child. See what the devil wants to do. Relax, I am seated. I have dealt with it. Are you with me? 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 1. He says, and it came to pass when the king sat in his house and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. It is see, Jesus Christ sitting is proof that the enemies will no longer be a challenge. Can you see after me? The devil is not a factor. In my life, in my journey to destiny, the devil is no longer a factor. The devil is no longer a factor. I am seated with Christ. Seated in the place of rest. Glory. And that takes me to the next thing. Because we are seated in him, we have divine authority. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read everything from verse 15. I'm going to read everything so that to enter. Jesus. Jesus. There are some things you are going to try. I want to give you an assignment. Listen to this message here. Pray on it, pray on it, pray on it. When you believe it has entered your spirit, start trying out some things. So you can wake up and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I command you sickness to leave. Somebody you know that is sick. Are you with me? Do it. In the name of, by the authority in the name of Jesus, I command the sickness, leave this person. When it looks like it doesn't happen, do it again. Then you start saying things like, in the name of Jesus, I command resources to come to me. I receive supernatural support. Do it. Start trying it. I am telling you how we came here. When I resigned from the office in February 16, 2019, the money they gave me was 50K. It was a Thursday, February 16, 2019. They gave me 50,000. And I took it to God. I said, God, you told me that I should leave my engineering and come and be a pastor. From today, you will support and supply for me. And he heard. So I'll wake up and say, all we need is supplied. All we need, that's how we started. Yes. The 50K has not finished it today. Hey, you practice it. But first, let me give it to you. Ephesians 1 from verse 15. Ephesians 1 verse 15, it says, Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, now read on with me, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. Verse 19, read on. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe, according to the work... Some of you are not reading. Verse 19, 1, 2, 3, go. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, the verse 21 with a loud voice. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet. Oh, read with me. Under his feet. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Hey. And hath put all things under his feet. Even the economy is under your feet. He has put all things under his feet. Oh my God. Oh my God. See after me, he has put all things under his feet. This is the spiritual premise on which he says, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, if you were there when Jesus Christ died on the cross, all you will see by information is a man. But by revelation, it was you that was hanging there. Your old man of sin was hanging there. When you are told that Jesus Christ ascended to heaven and is made to sit at the right hand of God, by information, it's like, oh, God loves Jesus so much. But by revelation, you know that it was also you. Remember, you are together with him. By revelation, you now know that if he's seated there, I am also seated there. Jump on your feet. The Bible says, wherefore God has highly exalted him. I want to ask you a question. Do you remember that when Jesus was on the earth? Hey, Jesus. I want to say something. Do you remember that when Jesus was on the earth, the disciples came to him and said, Master, even the demons and the devils are subject to us. So they said, Master, the demons and the principalities, or demons and the evil spirits, are subject to us in thy name. And Jesus said, rejoice not that the evil spirits are subject to you in my name. But rejoice that your name is written in heaven. He was prophetically pointing to something that right now you are seeing some level of authority. But by the time your name is written in heaven because of what I will do, you will see something greater. I want to ask you, if Jesus' name was already full of power when he was on the earth, why did God have to exalt him and give him a name above every name? It was because as at first time when his name was full on the earth, you were not in him. Oh my God. You were not in him that time. Oh, you were on your own. But right now, when he became joined with you, he knew that as he's exalting Christ, he's exalting you. Right now, that name is also your own name. Oh my God. Wherefore God has highly exalted him, in Philippians 2, and given him a name that is above every name. Ah, my God. He has given him a name that is above arthritis. He has given him a name that is above lack. God has given him a name above sickness. That at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Say after me, I have dominion. I have authority. Because I am seated with him. I am seated with him. Therefore, I have authority. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows. At the name of Jesus, sickness must bow. At the name of Jesus, lack must bow. At the name of Jesus, manipulations bow. Frustration bows. I am seated with him. Glory! I am seated with him. Pray in the spirit right now. And you are praying. My eyes of understanding are enlightened. I want you to pray fervently right now. Likorepeleketelia. Shakabarakatetelia. Rokepelegedepeleketeli. Arakabalagade seketelia. Shegedepeleketelia. Reketepeleketelia. Rudegebeleketepeleketelia. I want to hear you.